This is my last opportunity unless these guys don't show up. I will say this, y'all ought to be thankful Brother Barry and I showed up. Oh boy, we've had a good time, haven't we? We really have. And my wife and I, we think of you often, very often, and we say, you know, I wish they were just close enough that we could just run over there and spend a day or two and get back, but they keep me pretty busy at home. They try to keep me busy so I stay out of trouble. And so since they got 7 or 8 inches of snow this time, I don't think they're going to let me out of town again. But my wife and I have missed the snow in Ohio because we've always been somewhere else. And she loves the snow, and I do too. I don't mind it if it doesn't get on the streets and the sidewalks and driveways. You know, I don't mind it at all. Just on the grass is fine. So probably you could tell what scripture we're going to today. Huh? Wouldn't that be something? You know, I was thinking about this as a young preacher. I mean, as a young preacher, I thought, man, I gotta have me a different sermon every time, and I've gotta have some scriptures to go to and read and stuff. But as an older preacher, you get into something like this, and Paul, I guess, is getting older because he's stuck there. And you just get on something, and I don't know if this benefits you, but I'm telling you what, God has been doing something in my heart. And I laugh and kid all the time because if I don't, I get serious, I cry. And I was telling this morning, I said, a guy that would cry over a taillight, he's in bad shape. And Debbie was telling me this morning about Brian struck that the taillights, I think, and the blinkers were out. And I said, well, I noticed he teared up last night when I was talking about that taillight. So we had something in common. Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 36. If you're able to stand and honor the reading of the Word of God, let's do that. The Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd bless the reading of your word. We're thankful for these faithful people, and I pray that you continue to bless them. Lord, we thank you for your word and your mercy and grace and love toward us. And we just pray that we'll love you like we should. And we want to give you all the honor and glory because you alone are worthy. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I want you to hold your finger there, but I want you to turn back to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. Now, if you don't know where that is, it's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. How's that? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. And we'll go to the 12th chapter and the 13th verse. The 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 13. Now, I want you students to write it down, Ecclesiastes, and I want you to spell it right. And we're going to grade you right after they'll be looking at that. Here's what the Bible says. Now, notice this. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, you notice there in Matthew 22, it says, this is the greatest commandment, to love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. Is that what the Bible says? Then we look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, and it says that the wisest man who ever lived, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what he said. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And that, to me, this is the bottom line. This is it right here. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I did a series of sermons on fearing God, and I realized in that, that's not being afraid of God, that's reverencing God. That is respecting God. And yet, as we talk about this, and the preacher mentioned last night after the service, those whom God loves, He chastens. And I'm afraid of His chastening hand, don't get me wrong. But really, if we reverence and we respect God and we esteem God like we should, then we will be afraid to do those things that's wrong. As I think about that, the conclusion of the whole matter is to keep His commandments. Then I turn to Matthew, and it says, this is the first and great commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And we read last night that the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not, don't make us suffer. They're not hard on us. They're good for us. And I thought about this morning. If these students right here can get this scripture in their heart and their mind and their soul, then they're going to have a head start on many of us. A head start. Because in order to have things right in your life, you've got to have it right, first of all, with God. First of all, it has to be right with God. And God not only expects that, He commands us to have it right. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. Jesus teaches us this. You see, Jesus was a great teacher. Now, many thought He was just a great man, He was a great teacher. He's the Messiah. He's Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But He was a great teacher. And He used illustrations, and He gave those illustrations about practical things to show people a heavenly meaning with an earthly illustration. And we do that many times. Sometimes our illustrations don't exactly pan out like we want them to, but Jesus was the master at giving illustrations. And when the Bible says that the conclusion, the bottom line, the end of all of this is just to obey and keep His commandments, then that's what we ought to do. And I would dare say to you today, no matter what age you are, that if we would just do that, what a different world we'd live in. Now, when we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, you turn back there, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. We all know this pretty much by heart, but I want to show you something here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. The Bible says, if my people... Now, we preach this and we talk about it, but it's almost like we want to get the world straightened out. But one of the preachers, maybe Paul mentioned last night, first of all, we as God's people need to be straightened out. And the Word of God does that. The Scripture there is plain, and the preacher preaches it, and the Sunday school teacher teaches it. And as my dad used to say, we just need to get it. His pastor in Michigan years ago, Brother Frank Ridgway, would preach, and he'd preach on the same subject for a long time, and he'd have people come to him, and he'd say, when are you going to preach something else? And Brother Ridgway would always say, when we get this done, when we get this taken care of, we'll move on. Till then, we're going to stay right here. And the Bible says here in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, that's God's people, that's Christian people, that's what the Bible's saying, which are called by my name, Christians, shall humble themselves. Not about those homosexuals out there, not about the lesbians, not about the gambling crowd, not about the cursing crowd, not about the drinking crowd. It's God's people that He's talking about. If my people, He's talking about us, which are called by my name, Christian, children of God that are Christ-like, shall humble themselves and pray. Now let me say this to you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how much time do we spend in prayer? Our prayers have become like we want our service to be as far as going through McDonald's or Burger King or whatever the case may be. We want it, and we want it now. And we don't want to spend much time waiting on it. But you know, in the old days, they used to pray all night. Used to pray all day. And I'll tell you this, when we have a problem in our lives, we really get serious about praying then, don't we? If everything's going all right, we just kind of go through the motions and say our little blessing and say our little prayers and go on. But boy, when we're really in trouble, it brings us to our knees and it humbles us. And then we start really talking to God. You know what? Prayer does not change God. It changes us. It changes us. I've never gotten up off my knees or off my face without God really doing something in my life. I told you the story many years ago now, perhaps, about a young family in our church. They had a little boy, and they came to me, and they had asked the church to pray for them because they were about to have another child, a son, and the doctors had scared them to death and said there could be all kinds of complications, and the boy could be Down syndrome and all those kind of things. And the doctor even encouraged them to have abortion. And they said, it's not an option. We're not going to murder our baby. And they went back to the doctor on two different occasions after that, and the doctor suggested the same thing. Now, you know, it's spiritual for us to say, oh man, praise God, whatever, we want a healthy baby. But down deep in your heart, it does scare you. And so they asked the church, we was all praying for him, and one day this young man, who's a very quiet, reserved young man, a good Christian young man, he knocked on my door, and he was bawling, the dad. And he said, Brother Rick, I just have to talk to you. And so he poured his heart out. And again, I asked God to give me some wisdom to give him, and I said, Marty, God knows whatever's wrong with that child, that you're the family to take care of that child, raise that child, and not kill that child. And I, as I always do, before he left, we talked for quite a while and read some scripture, and I said, let's pray and talk to God. And in that office that day, we got on our face before God, right laying down. And we poured our hearts out to God. We got up off the floor. Marty began to smile, and he said, it's going to be okay. You know what it was? It was just a little talk with the Lord. Just to take some real serious time and talk to God about really what's on your heart. You say, well, God knows it anyway. It doesn't change God. It changes us. We need to talk to God about it. And you say, well, I don't want to talk to him about the little things. Listen, he's interested in every part of our lives. The baby was born, and he was a little boy, and he was perfectly healthy. The only thing wrong with him was he was going to be short the rest of his life. Hey, I tell you, that's a blessing from God. Amen? God loves short people. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, those things happen in other people's lives. Not just in your life. They happen in other people's lives. And that's when we get serious about prayer. Don't you wish we were serious about it all the time? We're talking about loving God and talking to God and pouring our heart out to God and pray and seek my face, the Bible says, and turn from their wicked ways. Who's he talking to? Still talking to his people, the people that are called by his name, Christian. If we'll turn from our wicked ways. I tell you, there's a whole lot of wickedness going on today in the name of Christianity. And I'm talking about sometimes save people. Get out there, back out in the world, and get back in the hog pen. And it's awful. I wouldn't want that for my family, would you? He says, turn from their wicked ways. We need to turn from our wicked ways. And then he says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. America needs healing, doesn't it? You think our land needs healing? Man, I want to tell you, this next election coming up, we got some real problems. We got some real issues. But the good thing is, the man in the White House, or the person in the White House, is not in control. God is in control. That's why we need to keep talking to God. Don't put too much confidence in man, because man will let you down every time. But God never lets us down. So the conclusion of the whole matter is this. To obey God. Now, do you children know what obedience is about? Obeying? Do you know what that means? The Bible says in what? Ephesians 6:1. You know what that says? Children, that's talking to y'all. I'm a child. I'm somebody's son. Obey your parents. Is that what your Bible says? That's what y'all are supposed to do. And all of you do it every day, right? Shake your head. Yeah. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we know what it means to obey. That means to do what our parents tell us. The Bible says that we're to obey God. You know what happens at home if you don't obey your parents or you don't obey your teachers? You know what happens? You get chastened. You may get grounded. You may get spanked. Y'all still spank? Wow. That's not politically correct. You know that, don't you? You get spanked. You know what? The Bible says those whom God loves, and God loves us, right? His children. He chastens us when we do wrong. Do you know that chastening is good for us? You know why it's good for us? Nathan said, I can't figure out why it would be. It's good for us so that we won't do it again. And we'll do the right thing. I remember used to, when I was a kid, my parents would say, now we're going to spank you, but we're doing this because we love you. And I'm going, you do? And they say, this is going to hurt us worse than it hurts you. And I said, well, let's just save us all some hurt here, and I'll just do without this thing. But my mother would say, get a belt, lay down across the bed, and wait on me. And she meant it too, buddy. She didn't say, well, your dad gets home. She said, you're going to lay down on the bed. I'm getting the belt. Or get the belt and lay there and wait on me, and I'll take care of you when I get there. Now, I'm going to tell you something. She did that because she loved me. Your parents, your teachers, they chasten you sometimes because they love you. God chastens us because He loves us. He wants us to do right. You know what? You do right and you get blessed. And you do wrong and you have to suffer chastening. It's like in school, and we have had a school for 36 years. It's like in school, these kids mess around. They don't get their work done. They get detention or whatever. And you know what? You still have to do the work. You get in trouble, and you still have to do the work. So, you know, I was sharp enough to think, if I do the work, I won't get in as much trouble. And that's the way it is with God. When we do what God tells us, we obey His Word, then the chastening doesn't come. It's when we disobey His Word. Now, that's for any age group that's saved. When we don't obey God, He chastens us. Why does He do that? Well, the Bible says because He loves us. Those whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Now today, looking back on that, I'm thankful that I had a mother and dad that made me do right. I'm thankful that I had a mother and dad that made me obey them. They made me respect them. They made me go to church. I'm glad I did. When I was just a young boy and I was playing sports and the coaches would want us to play on Wednesday night or during revival or something like that, my dad would always say, no, you can't do it. And the coaches would even come to our house when I got in high school and they said, look, we need your son. He's on the team. We need him. My dad said, no, we're having revival. He won't be there. Now, the deacon's kids, some of them went, but not the preacher's boy. And you know what? I resented that. I was just a kid. I was playing ball. I liked to play ball. I didn't say, well, miss a church service or not. But I'll tell you what happened. My dad wouldn't let me and my brother miss. He made us be in church. But then after it was all said and done, the deacon's kids were out in the bars and stuff, and my brother and I were both serving God. Now, I thank God that I had parents that made me obey. And I thank God that He makes us obey. The conclusion of the whole matter is to obey God and keep His commandments. And then when we look back to Matthew chapter 22, let's look back there. Matthew chapter 22, you should know that by heart now, if you didn't before. It is this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul, and all thy mind. And that says this is the first and great commandment. We just learned it. It said, obey God and keep His commands. You know what? This Bible is full of the commands of God. You read Psalm 119, talks about the statutes, the laws, all those things. That's the commands of God. That's what it is. Almost every verse in Psalm 119 talks about the statutes, the laws, the commandments, the commands, whatever. And it's all about what God commands us to do. In our church, we have an Air Force colonel. We were talking about him on the way here. And we have some men in our church that were in the Air Force, and they're no longer in the Air Force. But when the colonel walks in, and he never walks in his dress. Sometimes he'll come in his camouflage outfits and stuff like that, but coming right from work. But anyway, those guys respect him. They respect him. And they're intimidated by him because he's a full bird colonel, they call him. But he has such a humble spirit and such a humble heart about him. John said, if there's anybody that cries more than I do, it's him. Every time you talk to him. But he knows about loving God. And he knows about loving other people. He knows about rank and how that all works. He's a colonel in the Air Force, but when he has an opportunity to preach somewhere, he'll come and ask me, Pastor, is it okay if I go over there and preach for them? Now, he doesn't have to do that, but he does. And I appreciate that. He respects the office of a pastor. Sometimes in a White House, we have people maybe that we don't agree with, but we ought to respect that position, and we ought to pray for those people. We ought to pray for them. You see, when you love God and you love others as you should, and we're commanded to do those things, then our whole attitude and our whole life changes, and our whole personality sometimes changes. My dad's personality changed when God saved him. He wanted to fight all the time before God saved him. He's a little guy like me. He couldn't win, but he liked to fight. But when God saved him, he started loving people. My dad, he used to cry too when he'd preach and down in Arkansas, and he'd preach meetings, revival meetings, and we'd travel all over and he'd preach and he'd cry and he loved the Lord and he wanted other people to be saved and know Christ and obey his commands and all of that kind of thing. And I'll never forget one time he told me, he said, I cry too much when I preach. And he said, so I've asked God to remove my tears. And God did. And my dad said, boy, those were the hardest times of my life when God removed my tears. Because I was just dry. I would dry it up like those bones he talked about yesterday. But I'm telling you, he got to the point, he said, God, give me back my tears. Now, my dad, he was a hard preacher. I mean, you'd go to service and, man, he'd skin us one way and skin us the other way and turn us loose. One of the deacons said about him, that's my deacon now, he said, it's my brother-in-law, he said, boy, when your dad preached, he said, boy, we saw the blood coming immediately where he cut us. He said, the way you preach, you cut us, but we don't realize it till we get home. I got that from my mother. But I want to tell you something. As hard as he preached, as straightforward as he preached, people knew that my dad loved them. And that's the way it ought to be. You know what? Jesus was not just a soft-spoken preacher. Boy, he called people what they were. And if we did that today, everybody would walk out. But Jesus was a man's man. He was not a long-haired hippie with an earring and a gold necklace around. Man, he was a man's man. I mean, he was a preacher. And you can't deny that he loved people, but he told them straight from the Word of God. He told them straight from His Word what ought to happen, what ought to be done in their lives. Why do you think he did that? You think he did that because he was hard and he was rough and he just wanted them to do what he wanted? No, he did that because he loves them. When the pastor preaches a sermon, it gets on your toes and you think, why did he preach that? Everybody knows he's talking about me. Listen, he's not preaching just to you. He's preaching to all of us. And he's saying, I love you and I want you to do right. You take these children and take these grandchildren, great-grandchildren. You know how it is when your grandchildren come along, your great-grandchildren. I'm not that old to have great-grandchildren. Some of y'all are. But you want them to do right so they don't get in trouble. Don't you? Now, it never hurt me to spank my boys, but I can't bring myself to spank my grandkids. And people say, you preached on discipline when you had your boys. What about now you got grandkids? I said, that's why they got parents. Amen? But you want them to do right. Why? Because you love them and you don't want them to be chastened. That's the way it is with God. That's the way it is with a pastor. That's the way it is with your parents. They love you. They don't want you to get in trouble. I tell them at church sometimes, I said, sometimes kids and parents get to thinking that we sit up all night and think of ways that we can just make it tough on their kids at school. Now let's see, how can I give him detention tomorrow? I'll think of something. No, we have the rules to obey, to do right so that you'll do right. God will bless you and not chasten you. I remember one year when I was youth director at our church at Twinbrook for about 10 years. And I remember one year that, man, I'll tell you, I love those teenagers. We had some great times, and they'd come over to our house, and we'd go places, and I was coaching and teaching in the school at that time when I was associate, and we'd take them to ball games during the week and activities on the weekend youth, and we'd have church services, and I taught them in Sunday school, and just with them all the time. And I can't remember why I was going to tell that. You ever do that? Old age. But one time, for whatever reason, and I meant this the right way, I prayed that God would not lay the sin to their charge. He'd lay it to my charge. That's how much I loved them. And that was one of the hardest years of my life. I believe God did a lot of that just to show me something. That was one of the toughest years of my life. I mean, literally, it was. Health-wise, in a lot of other ways. I went through a time of depression. You say, Brother Rick got depressed? Yeah, I got depressed. I don't know what all God was doing in my life, but He was showing me something. I hope I learned it. But I said, I'll never pray that prayer again. It was a rough year. But I did it out of, the right heart, because I love those people. I love those young people. You know what? The truth is, when it's all said and done, we want people to love us, don't we? Don't we want people to love us? And you know, the Bible says if a man wants friends, he has to be friendly. And if you want people to love you, you have to open your heart and love them. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to close here in just a minute, but there's been times in my life in the ministry, as a preacher's kid, as a preacher, youth director, and as a pastor, that my family and me have been hurt badly. So you know what you do sometimes? You say, I'm not going to be hurt anymore. I'm going to block that hurt out. I'm going to put up that shield. They're not going to get close to me, and they're not going to hurt me anymore. I'm hurting enough. And you feel like that at times. And I've done it. But what happens is when you block out the hurt, also with that blocking, you block out the blessings. And you block out the people that do love you. You put up that shield. You put up that shield and you try to keep everything out. And you say, I'm not going to let that hurt me again. I've hurt too much, and I don't want this to happen. And you put your shield up. You keep your distance. But then, you don't get those blessings. And you don't get that love from the people that love you. One of the things that I've had to do that God has taught me in my ministry about loving people and so forth is I have to focus on the people that want to love God and want to do right and want to come to church and want preaching and want teaching and want singing. I heard one preacher say, I'm tired of gearing our services for people that don't want to be here anyway. I told the preacher the other night, I said, I got up one time because, you know, you get accustomed to getting out a certain time and a preacher quitting a certain time and getting home a certain time and eating a certain time and all that. And one Sunday I went over and I about 15 minutes or so, and I apologized that night to the people for going too long that morning. And that night the men came to me. Some of the men, they said, Preacher, don't ever apologize for preaching what God's laid on your heart. Don't ever apologize for going overtime. You go as long as you need to go. And so the next service, I got up and apologized for apologizing. And you know what? God showed us something there. Don't be a clock watcher. Don't think, man, I got to get here a certain time. Listen, we don't have enough time in church. We don't have enough time in our services. And your church, and I'm sure Brother Barry's and different ones, and ours is like this. It's a haven for all of us. We come in here and we feel the love of God. Don't you feel the love of God when you come in here? And I have people come in our services and maybe their spouse is not saved, maybe their children's not saved, and they work in an environment that's not really good for a Christian to be in. And they'll come into the services and they'll say, this is my haven. This is my escape. This is where I can come. And I don't want the song service cut down. I don't want the you can cut down. And I want to be here as long as God has for me to be here so I can get all that God has for me because I love God. I love God. And as much as I love God, listen, as much as I love God, as much as I love my family, as much as my family loves me and my parents love me, and you think about all the love in this room today, this auditorium today. You think about all of this in this church service. All of the love that we have for each other and for our family and friends. It doesn't begin to compare with the love that God has for us. He not only loves us, He proved it at Calvary, and He continues to prove it every day. Now, what do I want to do because of that love? I want to obey Him. I want to obey Him. And I want to keep His commands. And I want Him to know. I want Christ to know. I want God to know that I love Him. How do we do that? We show it through our lives. It's not something where we want everybody to pat us on the back and thank us for doing the right things. Someone said, I heard a preacher say one time, if you get all your pats on the back and all your appreciation down here, you won't have anything left up there. I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought about that. I said, I'd rather have the appreciation up there, amen, than down here. But I can't answer the question for you, and I conclude with this. Students, think about this and ask yourself the question, do I love God with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my soul? Do I? And then you can say, I don't know, but I want to. You see, when a person is saved, they get their want to fixed. That's what happens. I want to love God. I may not always show it. I may not always act like it. But that's my desire, is I want to love God with all my heart, all of my mind, and all of my soul. And that's not just good for students. That's good for all of us. Preachers need to be reminded, don't we? Well, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this? Why are we spending this time? Why are we going over here? Why are we witnessing these people? Why are we going to the hospital? Why are we going to the funeral? Why are we doing that? Because we love God. You know what? You don't have to go around. Listen, you don't have to go around saying, telling people, I love God, I love God, I love God. You don't have to do that. In fact, if you do that, they're going to wonder about you. Aren't they? Be like some of the people he worked with, right? I love God, I love God. I've had people come forward during the invitation. They'd say, I read my Bible, and I pray, and I. And they got such a tense spirit about them. And I'm thinking, man, they're right here telling God this? And I don't believe them. I don't think God does either. You don't have to tell people. They see it in your life. And let me tell you this. It's far better when other people recognize it in you than when you promote yourself. It's far better when other people recognize it in you than you promoting yourself. And it's far better when God knows it. Our heart, He knows it regardless. But it's far better when He knows our heart that we love Him. Let's pray. Our Father, we love You. We want to love You more. We thank You for every blessing. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for our good churches that are still preaching the truth. We thank You for these young preachers. Lord, I pray that You just bless them and encourage them and keep them on the firing line. I love them. I love their youth. I love their spirit. I love their knowledge of the Word of God. I'm so thankful that behind us that are getting older, there are some young men that are stepping up and saying, I want to serve God with everything that's within me. I want to give of my best to the Master. And then, Lord, I pray for these students that are here today. And I pray that You'll speak to all of their hearts. My. I don't know what You have in store for them, but I know You have great and glorious things if they'll be obedient to You and to Your Word. And I pray that they'll bless our lives. They'll bless others' lives with their service for the Lord. We thank You for this church, and we thank You for the pastor and his family. We thank You for the blessing that they've been to us. the great encouragement that they've been to us, the great friends that we've enjoyed here. I thank you for every bit of that. It's wonderful how you bring people into our lives, and what they mean to us is just really special. Lord, I'm honest today when I confess that I don't deserve any of this, but I want to appreciate it, and I want to be thankful for it, and I want to praise your holy name, and I want to love you with all that's within me. And I pray that you'll receive all the honor, the glory, the praise, the exaltation. You're the one that deserves it. You're the one that's worthy. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and ask it all. Amen. Thank you very much for your kind attention.